FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's January 15th, 2018. So lots going on in Washington. A lot about the Russia mania probe, if you will, and a lot about what the probe should really be about. And it's all coming out now. First, as always, participate in the show. Email us kl@kerrylutz.com. I'm just about caught up now. So interesting things have come out. I've been watching the story. I've known about it for months. But now it's finally starting to percolate out into the public consciousness. And that is that Team Trump was the subject of what probably was a massive and massively illegal surveillance program. And there were a number of figures involved in it, both in the FBI, the Department of Justice, and probably a number of other intelligence agencies. But basically, when Trump said, "My wires were tapped at Trump Tower," he was widely denigrated and berated about it. But as it turned out, they were. Well, Daniel Greenfield, our good friend, is with us now to talk about it. And you know Daniel well. His blog is sultankanishblogspot.com, and he's the Shulman Journalism Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and I read your work religiously, Daniel. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on once again.
Hey, so we got this thing here that really, unfortunately, most of you out there weren't alive when Watergate occurred, but basically Watergate was nothing. It was some incompetent boobs breaking into the Democratic National Committee's offices in the Watergate Plaza and just botching everything and getting caught and eventually bringing down President Nixon. This thing is a lot bigger than that, isn't it, Daniel?
It's much worse than that because, first of all, we're not talking about private eavesdropping. Rather, we're talking about the abuse of government eavesdropping. So the NSA, the entire purpose of that was to be able to protect national security. At no point in most people's even wildest imagination did they actually foresee an outcome where an administration would use the claim of national security to eavesdrop on its political opposition. But that is exactly what happened. Now, we've already had warnings about this even before Trump. Thus, when Netanyahu was campaigning against the Iran deal, and he was speaking to members of Congress, NSA eavesdropping by the Obama administration not only intercepted Netanyahu's conversations, but intercepted his conversations with members of Congress and even apparently just general civilians, people who were just opposed to the Iran deal. And this was very much a case of the administration spying on its political opponents under the guise of national security, because opposition to the Iran deal was a political debate. It was not a matter of national security. When you spy on people opposed to it, you're specifically protecting the political agenda of the administration. But of course, it got much worse once you had the Hillary campaign coming in, because at this point, the Obama administration began spying on Trump officials to protect the Democratic succession. They did this again under the guise of national security, and the guise of various national securities. We've had claims about Russia, but we know that at least some of these dropping, particularly on Flynn, apparently took place because of a meeting with a UAE, United Arab Emirates Crown Prince. Again, technically not an enemy of the United States, not even a rival country of the United States, not even a country we technically have any friction with overall. Mm-hmm. So they would actually begin eavesdropping on their political opponents. Now, in theory, when you eavesdrop on Americans, you're not supposed to, the names are supposed to be blanked out. So so an American official is, let's say, talking to Pavel Pavlov in Moscow. So the transcript is going to black out the American's name and all the information about him. It's going to have the Pavel Pavlov stuff on it. That was the basic protection that was that Americans were supposed to have. The Obama administration made a mockery of that because key officials like Susan Rice, like Samantha Power, insisted on unmasking the Americans. So they unmasked their names, they unmasked the transmissions, which means they were directly eavesdropping on Trump officials. And then just to make things one step worse, they leaked some of this to the media.
Yeah, so this is an anatomy of a conspiracy. At first to deny Trump the presidency, and then after he was elected, to basically get him out of office. And what's really shocking what's amazing is it's just like Nixon. You know, in 1972, in that election, there was no way that Nixon was going to lose. He was a shoo-in. And according, when you talk to the Democrats before the election, there was no possible way that Hillary Clinton could lose the 2016 election. She was a shoo-in. And yet they have to go for the extra edge. They got to go and find out exactly what their adversary is doing. With Trump, really, Daniel, all they had to do was turn on the television set and watch him at a rally, because I'm sure that most of the emails that went through basically were along the same theme.
Well, so you have FBI agent Peter Strzokko, head of the counterintelligence division, and his texts have recently come out. He was a Trump opponent and a Hillary supporter. And one of the very interesting things that he told his mistress, who was working for Deputy Director Andrew McCabe of the FBI, who is very much a Democrat and has been linked to the Democrats and the Hillary campaign in particular, he said that insurance was needed in case of a Trump victory. So some of this was very much about having insurance, and the rates of unmasking, particularly by Samantha Power, dramatically accelerated in the final months after Trump won and he was due to take office. So they were building insurance to take him down, to take down Trump officials. They did that very effectively with General Flynn. They generated anything that took him down by basically accusing him of lying to the FBI. And that's a crime generated by the investigation. They were able to do that because it eavesdropped on him. So you could have agents ask him, is this true or not? And he would answer whatever he answered.
Perjury
and they would
trap.
Go, well, no, we have you on tape. Mm-hmm. And this is how totalitarian regimes function. That's how the Obama administration was functioning. That's what makes it much worse than Watergate, because Watergate was a sneaky, underhanded thing. This was overhanded. This was the government abusing its wide powers to crush political dissent.
Exactly. I mean, it's shocking in that it was done, but it's not shocking in that the people who did it, it's exactly what you would have expected from the Obama administration. It's just one more unconstitutional, illegal exercise of power that took place during Obama's terms.
I would argue that it's one of the worst of them. In terms of foreign policy, there were assorted truly treasonous abuses. There were some very horrifying things in domestic policy. But this is very scary because, again, if you think about just the implications of this, you've got the government acting like they did in Russia or in China, where it actively suppresses political dissent using eavesdropping, using police powers. That is about as horrible a precedent as you could possibly have in domestic American political life. That's the sort of thing that turns you into a dictatorship or just causes a direct conflict, because when you use police powers to suppress the political opposition, not some crazy guys who believe in terrorism, but the other party in the two-party system, you're a police state.
Yeah. Yep. That's really what it comes down to. And especially because prior to Obama's departure from office, they said they released all the national NSA intelligence that was accumulated to law enforcement in numerous departments and said, just go for it. Any crimes, even if the evidence was illegally obtained or unauthorized obtaining of evidence, just go ahead and do it. And that was the signal that they were after Trump. And now it appears that the plan has failed. And where are we now, Daniel? What's going to happen next?
Well, they did get Flynn out and replaced him with McMaster, which has been pretty bad news. It means that the Obama holdovers are still in the National Security Council. It means we can't properly find out the scale of the Obama eavesdropping. So part one of their plan succeeded. Part two was Mueller, and the Mueller investigation is in part derived from the same toxic roots that date back to the Steele dossier, that date back to the Hillary campaign's invention of the whole Russian conspiracy theory. Whether or not Mueller actually finds anything meaningful, the bottom line is the Democrats will intend to use that for impeachment if they actually get a majority in Congress. And that's part three of the plan. So the plan, unfortunately, is very much humming along.
Yeah, well, but it's been exposed now. And we're going to get the Inspector General's report on what happened. The Steele dossier is part of the insurance plan. They concocted this dossier. Was it the deputy attorney general in charge of counterterrorism or intelligence? It was a guy named Orr. His wife was hired by Fusion GPS, the company that concocted the Steele dossier, to effectively work with Christopher Steele to create this thing, which had no basis in fact and had nothing. There was nothing true about it. In fact, the FBI said they couldn't verify any of the information in it. But then they took that dossier, they went to the FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Security Act court, and they used that as the basis to get the warrant to surveil the Trump team and, most importantly, to retroactively kosher up the surveillance they had already conducted on the Trump team. So the whole thing is just totally an abuse of power, abuse of the law, and really, really criminal acts to favor one party over another, to favor Hillary Clinton. And it looks like heads are getting ready to roll. All of these retirements that have taken place in DOJ and the FBI are not coincidental.
There are certainly some people leaving, for that matter. We are peeling back quite a bit, and this is significant stuff, but it's moving at far too slow a pace, and Congress has had to struggle upstream every step of the way. At least those members of Congress who actually are fighting for this have had to struggle upstream every step of the way. There really hasn't been that much cooperation from the Justice Department. And really, a lot of this stuff needs to be coming from the White House. President Trump has the power to declassify a lot of this, but whatever the interface is, it's not working too well. We need to declassify all of the requests that were made for the unmasking of the names. That's the most explosive part of it. And we've had this kind of a pass given to Susan Rice and Samantha Power, where what they did was technically legal, which is very much a contextual term. We need to peel back the larger conspiracy. There is a lot of good work being done. There's work being done by journalists. There's work being done by members of Congress. But at this rate, we need to have this in place before the midterm elections, and I'm not too sure that we will.
I think it's all coming to a head here. The stories come out that the Steele dossier was the basis for the FISA warrant. And I think that it's going to start unraveling very quickly now. I think they kind of had to build the case. It's not the kind of thing you really want to be getting into in depth during the holidays, because the attention just isn't there. But now drip, drip, drip is turning into a garden hose, and it'll soon turn into a fire hose of disclosures. So I would urge you a little bit of patience, because it seems, from what I've heard, to just have been planned, the release, the way it is, because the case is being built. And hey, what do you think the American people, how are they going to react to this when the story comes out, Daniel?
Well, much as with Trump's election, there will be people who are completely unprepared for it, who have been living in the media bubble, and the media is going to have to shift a bit to explain it, but the media largely is already doing that, and it's going to continue pushing its own narrative. Obviously, people who are more conservative are far more likely to be aware of it, but that really creates this challenge where people are living in alternate realities, where they're consuming very different sources of news, and it leaves them unprepared for certain consequences. So the left has no idea this is an issue. To the extent that they do know, they hear it's a Republican conspiracy theory. If it's actually proven, if it actually comes out, they're going to be unprepared to deal with those revelations. But again, the media is going to roll out excuses for just about anything that was done. And the excuse that they're going to roll out is double down on the original claim. It was justified because it's true. Trump is a traitor. Everybody around him are traitors. We had to do what we had to do. And I think that's going to lead to a pretty ugly clash.
Yeah, well, I think the mainstream media can ignore the story to a point, and then they're just going to have to effectively report it, maybe with some slant. But these charges, the facts here are so explosive that you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. At least that's my opinion. But I think we're going to know very shortly, Daniel. So, hey, we want to get your work, read your articles. Where's the best place to find you these days?
Well, the simplest way is just to Google Daniel Greenfield. I'm a Showman Journalism Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, so I'm on frontpagemag.com, but really just Google my name, it'll come up pretty fast.
All right, we always have a link to your articles on the site, Daniel. Thanks so much for coming on, and I think we're going to see some major fireworks in Washington very shortly.
I certainly hope you're correct. Thanks again for having me on.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.